Hello, and welcome to Abroad Calling, the podcast. I'm Kanya Lyons. I'm recording this from El Cabañal Beach in Valencia, Spain. I've spent the last 2.5 months in Spain, and today is my very last day here, so this is my goodbye for now to the Mediterranean Sea. The first 2 months, I was in Barcelona, getting to know the city, and I've decided to do a master's program there starting in the fall of 2019. It's called Digital Solutions Development at the Barcelona Technology School, which is part of the University of Barcelona. My 14-year-old daughter, Sachi, is going to enroll in school there for the 10th grade. She's currently doing an online high school program through the University of Texas. In our time in Barcelona, we made some friends and we got to know the city just a little bit. And this next interview that you're about to hear is with Tracy Ginsburg, who lives on the Costa Brava, which is just a little bit north of Barcelona. And she has a really interesting story, so I hope you enjoy.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing great, actually. So I guess before we kind of delve into all the crazy travels and living abroad experiences you've had, let's start with just kind of laying the groundwork. Where do you come from?
So I come from Australia originally. I just have to say originally because I've lived outside of Australia for more than, well, for almost 20 years now. So originally I was from Australia.
When did you first get the travel bug and how did it manifest?
The travel bug didn't actually hit. I think it became like a small process of smaller steps. I think once you start to leave your comfort zone, you start to discover elements about yourself, and that kind of leads you to new directions. You know? And so I think sometimes you need to go with those directions. And unfortunately or fortunately, I don't know. Most people say Australia's a beautiful place to be. Why would you leave? You know? But if you are always comfortable, then sometimes you don't discover new parts of yourself that are worth investigating.
So how is it that you ended up living in Spain for the last, 20 years or so?
In Europe, actually, for the last 20 years. Well, I came over in a plane, which is the most frequent question asked. How did you get here? And I would often say, I came in a plane. It's because that's the Australian humour. It's very much in your face. It was an idea. I came over to actually study, which I think is always a good reason for travel. Study something that you like, become involved in something that you like. I was going to study circus in the London Circus School. That was the plan. It was put on hold, and I think the life experiences became living the circus and being a circus myself became more of the idea. Where I've been and why. No, I think it just first started when I left my own house when I was a teenager in studying art and in Australia, in the University of Australia, the Griffith University in Queensland. And after that, being very comfortable. Very young, I was 23, I was in the Institute of Modern Art, I was in the Museum of Modern Art, I had run galleries, I had done lots of stuff, and I was very comfortable, very popular, and I decided I think I needed a change, I needed another challenge. So I went out of Queensland into New South Wales to a small town in Byron Bay, and I got influenced a lot by the theatre and the circus that I saw there. And that influence was again a great thing for me because it made me wake up a little bit. And in no time at all, I was doing national tours with a great company, the Lismore Theatre Company called Norpa, and that was great. Of course, we had a lot of exits and a lot of success, and I was very happy to be working with them. I developed my pyrotechnic fire performance side. That didn't come out in the outside when I was in Australia. Well, I'd done performance, but not so much national tours and stuff like that. And then, of course, I wanted to further that studies and see what else would come out. And so the idea was to go to the London Circus School and see what happened. But unfortunately, I did not get my visa properly sorted before I went out, and so without a proper visa to get into London at this moment, because it's in the 90s, I unfortunately could not go in. So that changed my plans, and from that change of plans, something else happened, and I found that I was in from London, I went to Europe, the rest of Europe. And from the rest of Europe, I found that my skill sources as being an artist was very much welcome in Europe. And I think the welcoming nature and having the people's support culture was another reason why I stayed. And also I developed another side of myself culturally, I discovered music, I became a DJ, also running my own sound systems, being involved in a lot of parties, doing a lot of festivals, doing the fire, the theatre stuff, as well as the art stuff, finding another outlet for expression. And with that outlet, I also was the representative of Spain for the Red Bull DJs. It's a music academy that Red Bull put on. I became one of their students in 2004.
So you mentioned that from London you went to Europe, and that's very broad. So could you narrow down some of the places where you traveled and what you did along the way and how you ended up in Spain and how Spain spoke to you?
So after leaving London, I went to Amsterdam, which was kind of a culture shock from Byron Bay, which is a very hippie place to be, and being in the middle of the chaos of Amsterdam. It was okay. I could speak English. I'd seen some interesting stuff. I had some theatre stuff that I'd been interested in. My director of my last theatre company, the Norpa Theatre Company in Byron Bay, they were actually performing, so I saw some interesting stuff there. And I developed my busking skill, which is doing circus on the street and then asking for money, busking. This is what we call busking. That developed my confidence to go out on the street and do something and be able to live through making artistic expression, which it all starts with small steps. After being in national tours and theatres and having places very easily full without having to do anything, it was very hard for me to then go on the streets and create something. So it was a good time to shake up and wake up, you know. When it was getting colder, I decided to go south, and I found some people that were going to France, which was really nice to go to France, the Pyrenees Mountains. I met people from the Pyrenees Mountains. From there, they were going to Ibiza. So I heard that Ibiza is a nice island and it's warmer, and I'm from Australia, and it was getting colder. So I go down to Ibiza, which was in 1998, when Ibiza was not so popular. Now it's a very popular party place. During the art connection and the cultural connection, I made more friends. And I think even though we couldn't communicate through words, we were communicating through artistic abilities. We would get together and make things together, whether it be drawing, whether it be performing, whether it be making food, whether it be whatever. So I think the expression comes from many shapes and forms. And people are human, so whatever makes you feel good makes someone else feel good. It's the same. Sometimes feelings are mutual more than probably language, you know. So from there also I came to Barcelona. And Barcelona for me was it's a very chaotic place at that stage. I didn't speak the language. I still don't speak Spanish that well. I came from a small town. I'd born in the city, moved to a small town, and I'd kind of liked the small town, and Barcelona was very busy for me. And so that's when you kind of, I don't know, I decided to go to a party, and at this party I met my boyfriend, which was in a very nice place. And so when you fall in love, often love can change the direction of where you want to go, where you want to be, or where you are. So from there was a whirlwind love that lasted for quite a while. And from that also was a reason why I stayed in Spain. Also because I think if you enjoy a place, it's important to stay and find out why. So most of the time, I think the weather is something that dominates whether I like the place or not. I'm from Australia. I come from a hot place. I don't really know the winter feeling. So I'm more usual and more comfortable in hotter places. And so for me, Spain and the Costa Brava, which is very nice, it's more tranquilo, it's more quiet. This became a very interesting place for me to discover the culture, Spanish or Catalan, whatever you want to say or call it, because politics here at this moment is very hot subject. So I would like to say the two cultures, Spanish culture and Catalan culture.
Tell me about where it is that you live now.
So I live in Spain, in Catalonia, which is like one of the territories of Spain. And I live on the Costa Brava, which is outside of Barcelona on the coast. And I think this name was tagged because it's called the Brave Coast, because the mountains reach the sea. So it's a very spectacular coastline. And most of the time it's the coastline of Spain has been reserved. So there is a sense of nature that is still pristine in this area of the coast. And also I think the protection of the coastline and the beaches and the the beaches and the beaches. I have to say they're the most beautiful beaches. Australia also has incredible beaches, but the Costa Brava has also an array of beaches that are spectacular. You know, a lot of wildlife, a lot of fish, a lot of... It's worth the look if you like beaches, which I do.
In your time of living abroad, what customs and culture, aspects of culture, have given you the most culture shock?
Well, I think maybe first the language, because the Spanish and the English language is very much opposite. So that's very interesting, you know. We say the red chair, they say the chair red. So sometimes there's a lot of miscommunication, you know, from that, you know. I think getting over your inabilities, your paranoias and stuff, and accepting that people are people wherever you go means that you have an easier time in a foreign language when you don't understand. But I think the most culture shock I got was not just the language and how they would talk over each other and how passionate they were about dialogue and about expressing themselves, was also the idea of time out. They would make, for example, they still have the siesta from 1 o'clock till 5 o'clock. Things are closed in the midday, the people go home, the kids come home from school, they eat with their parents, there's a time out where the people go, they have a rest in the middle of the day. This is kind of warranted because in summer it's very hot, the climate is very hot, the people, I think, adjust better to the climate. They use the climate as a way of living, not like we are living regardless of the climate. I think here the people have integrated their lifestyles with the climate. It's a more integrated way of living with the environment they're in and with the, and giving yourself more time and a better way of life. And I think it's interesting. I find this very interesting. I like the idea that the children go home from school, the parents come home from work, and they eat together in the midday. The children are seeing their parents, the parents are seeing that the children are eating, they have a break together, they see if any problems are solved. And this, I think, is important. We develop stronger family ties. The break is important for the parents. I think it's an interesting idea and another alternative that I've never been exposed to. So culture, I think, is great because you understand maybe your way is not the only way. And it's good to open yourself to other opinions and to other ideas. You know, the people here, for example, the English eat at 7 or 8 at the night time. The people here eat at 10 or 11, you know, it's a very different idea because they are finishing later, they are living later in the night time. For this, they have more breaks, they have more resets during the day so that their days are longer, but they have time to enjoy and relax during the day, which I think is interesting for stress relief, for time with your partners, time with your friends, being able to actually manage well the relationship that you have with work, your family and your friends, and your ability to actually not suffer from that.
So can you walk me through a typical Spanish day?
Okay, so the shops open at 10 o'clock. So the schools open at 9 or 8, depending on which schools you go to. So the parents have time to take their kids to school and go to work easily. No, so most of the children are eating, waking up and eating calmly with their parents in the morning because their parents know that if they are not rushing to work, they have time to put the kids into schools before going to work. So that makes it easier in the mornings. There's not the stress that, you know, you're going to be late at work because your kids aren't getting it together. No. Then, of course, they have the midday break at 1 o'clock. And so this time is when, you know, the parents can come home and make some food. No. And so for this time, the kids come home, they eat with their parents. They have a break. They can either eat at school or they can come home and eat with their parents, whatever they want. The kids go back to school at 3 and the parents go back to work at 5. So there is this moment where the kids are eating and they're with their parents, and this is a nice moment because most of the time we don't get this opportunity to have both parents home eating together, a comfortable meal in the midday, talk about things that are happening at schools, problems the kids are having, bullying, anything else that's going there, a reset for the day, you rest with your kids, and then of course reset the day, and the afternoon happens a lot easier from the 5 to 8. And then of course you come home, and depending on the schools and depending on the parents, the kids would normally eat at 7 or 8, but the parents are eating later. They would eat 9, 10, 11. You have restaurants serving food at 11 o'clock at night here, so it's not uncommon for the people to eat late.
When do kids get out of school?
Depending on the schools they go to. They could be at 5 o'clock, they could be at 6 o'clock. It depends.
What would you say has been the biggest challenge that you have had to face while living abroad?
I would say learning the language. I think it's important when you go to another place and you find out that you actually do like to be there. You actually decide that, wow, I feel comfortable in this place. Maybe I have doubts about whether I'm going to make it here or have success or be able to live in another place, but I feel comfortable. I think at that moment it's important to try and learn the language. Learning a language is difficult, especially when you get older in life. But if you intend on even listening, trying to get over your embarrassment about not being able to speak or speaking strangely, I personally have become more animated, and my friends laugh at me all the time as I speak my own type of Spanish, which I call Span Catalanish, which is a mixture of Spanish, Catalan and English together. Because I realise that it doesn't really matter what you speak, as long as you're speaking and trying to get across what you want to say in whatever gestures you can. Communication is important, and not to become shy about that and not say anything. I think try and be involved, whether it is culturally and expressing what you want to do. I became a DJ. Music moves the people, they communicate well. I used my own art. I taught lots of people my own culture, performing circus, making my own association here, being involved in cultural activities with local city councils here. Being involved and putting myself in that situation and teaching my culture also helped me know their culture. I would take my culture and I would celebrate what they use here is called the noche there, the reyes, or San Juan, or there's many small festivals, or what they call big festivals, because here they have festivals, a lot of festivals. They have a lot of celebrating, depending on different ideas. One is they celebrate the changes of the weather, and this is called San Juan, which is the beginning of summer. And usually all over Spain they have fire, and it can be fireworks or whatever. But this night is a night for celebration. It's very hard to understand, but every day, Spain is a Catholic. It has many religions, but the religious most important, or what based on ideas, is the Catholic religion. And every day of the year has a saint. And the day of the saint of this particular day, the day of the fire, is called Saint Juan. So if you can imagine, beforehand, most people who were born in Spain were born on a day, and this date would have a saint. So they would have two birthdays. They would have the birthday of the day that you were born and the birthday of your saint day. So for example, you were born on 20th of November, but you were named Juan. Your saint day is the 24th of June. So for example, you would celebrate your birthday two times a year. This is a very strange custom that I'm still very interested about. And often the saint day is more important than your birthday. But on this particular day, Saint Juan, is the day of fire. And my element and what I do as circus is fire. So I connected very well with the culture. So I was able to quickly use my abilities and skills as a fire performer and become involved in a lot of festivals. And I think the ability to share your culture, your talents, and to discover more talents and ways of expressing yourself and communicating is an interesting way of traveling. More than just studying, if you go to a place and you decide to just study a language, I think it's more important to study their culture. So here, the celebrations happen in many shapes and forms. It happens with the turn of the weather. It can happen with, for example, celebrating the Fiesta Major, which is the fiesta of the town. It can also be, for example, the beginning of the growth of a certain type of vegetable. For example, they have the festival here in Spain where the first sprouts of onions are celebrated. Mm-hmm. So they have this festival where everyone is eating onions that are picked for the first time. And I think it's really interesting to see why people celebrate, how they celebrate, and see how this culture has developed. There's also another celebration that they do, which is the Carafox, which is all about the devils chasing out the demons from the country, well, from the place. So in many small towns, they have a Carafox, which is a lot of fire and a lot of pyrotechnics. And the people, there's like a lot of performers or people who will be performing, and they are dressed as devils. And they bring out dragons, and they have pyrotechnics and fireworks in the streets. and people of the town come out wearing special clothing, protective clothing, to participate in the feeling of chasing out the devils from the towns. So all of these cultures have come from a very, very long history. And it's interesting and nice to see that the cultures have not changed. It's good to have these community ideas and cultural ideas, as well as, for example, you know, commercial festivals, music festivals and events that are commercially based. I mean, in Catalonia, the idea of cultural exhibition is very strong at this moment, whether it be the Catalan people or artists, or whether it be artists in general. And I think that was a reason, another reason why I stayed so long. Well, I'm still here in Spain because of their cultural exit. They're people expressive. They like to express themselves. And for this, I feel comfortable amongst them.
What sort of advice would you give someone who is about to embark on a life abroad in a new country, not necessarily Spain or Catalonia, just anyone who's kind of embarking on a similar type of journey? What sort of wise sage words do you have?
Just do it. I mean, like the Nike, just do it, you know, put on the shoes and run. No, I mean, don't be afraid. It's okay. People are people wherever you go. I think that's the more you get out of your comfort zone and realize that whatever stopped you from doing something because of fear of not knowing, of the unknown, what's going to happen, the questions that you have. Nobody knows what's going to happen. So you may as well put yourself in a situation where you can grow and don't be afraid to experience new things. Because if you don't try, you'll never know. You know, if you could say that you are happy in your life, I think you've achieved something.
I just have one last question to ask. I'd like to know what you've learned from this experience of living abroad.
Actually, I've discovered more of myself from living abroad. And that has been a great and enjoyable experience. Knowing who you are, being happy with who you are, being happy with the choices that you've made during your life. And I think most of the times that we're faced with many different things in our lives, and sometimes it's just enjoyable to know that you don't have any regrets, that you took the leap, that you made that extra effort, that during your great and long and beautiful life, you enjoyed every moment. I think that's the pure essence of being here, is to have a beautiful, enjoyable life. And if you're not doing it, then you should try it. I suggest it. It's a good idea to enjoy your life, you know. And I think if anyone is having any doubts and they're not enjoying where they are, then try and make those small steps to go somewhere else and discover how beautiful you are. How wonderful you can be. Enjoy the experiences, new experiences and changes without fears, and become all you can. And yeah, live your life how you want it without being afraid. And while you're doing it, spread the love, you know?
Wonderful. Those are really great words to kind of conclude our conversation. I'm so grateful that you took the time to have this conversation with me and tell me about your experience living here and just, you know, figuring out your place in the world.
It's a pleasure, like always. You and me, when we get together, we could talk all day, all night, nonstop. Thanks for your podcast. I really enjoyed being here today. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for listening to Abroad Calling, the podcast. I hope you enjoyed that lovely interview with Tracy Ginsburg. And it turns out she has so many more stories that we didn't even begin to get into. So I'm probably going to have to interview her a second time when I visit her in the future. So stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, this is me signing off. I'll be back soon. Thanks.
How much tape do you have?
We can be here till tomorrow, I think. We're good.